Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Glory. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2? These are the days when my Father's ways will be known to men. Thank you, Master. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 19. Let's read it together. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore what? Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now I want to share something with you which is important. He's saying, listen, there is honor and there is dishonor. In other words, there are times when there's honor and there's dishonor. And he's not saying about anybody else but self, you. You're either bringing honor or you're expressing dishonor. Does everybody get it? And then he begins to go and he tells us, he says, listen, if you, that's why he says, anyone who cleanses himself, right, will be a vessel of honor. So he's saying, listen, there's a time when you've got to cleanse yourself so that you begin to express Christ's character, that you are a vessel of honor instead of a vessel of what? Dishonor. And he's talking about in the house of God, that there are vessels. And he tells us, he says, look at, in verse 22, he tells us, God, come on, read it with me. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, what else? Peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Out of a pure heart. Now, he's saying, okay, now this is a vessel of what? Honor. So he expresses what a vessel of honor was. What does he say? He says, listen, flee also from useful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. He's saying this is what's going to maintain you from being a vessel, to keep a vessel of honor. Okay? Then he goes and he expresses what a vessel of dishonor is in the house of God. And he says in verse, what, 23? Come on. But avoid what? Foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. So he says here, listen, this is what becomes a dishonor, and the other one becomes a what? Honor. Listen, things that pertain or things that promote honor, and there's things that promote what? Dishonor. Amen? So he says, cleanse yourself. Cleanse yourself. Now, in verse 22, he mentions something very powerful. He said, but pursue righteousness, faith, and love. And I want to share something with you, which is important, because something that promotes honor is love. Does everybody get it? Love promotes a vessel of honor. When there's expression of love, you're promoting honor. Now, what do you think promotes dishonor? Pride. Pride promotes dishonor and love promotes honor. So there are either the vessels of honor that are expressing God's love, or there's a vessel of dishonor that is expressing pride. Does everybody get it? Okay, cool. Genesis chapter 3. And in the house of God there are vessels of honor and dishonor. Everybody's become one or the other. And every day you have the choice to become one or the other. In fact, every moment you have the choice to become one or the other. Jesus knows. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Are y'all there? Would you read it with me? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent's wonderful, cunning response was, God is a liar. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Does everybody see this? So he says, now, it says that the serpent was more cunning. In other words, he was more crafty, deceiving, seducing, manipulating, argumentative, lying, arrogant, prideful. That was the serpent. In fact, his dishonesty brought self-honor. Does everybody see this? His dishonesty brought, what was he trying to prove? He was trying to prove that he was better and he knew all. So he actually deceived Eve, didn't he? He conned her. He lied to her. He manipulated her. But there was a self-motive there. Wasn't there? Selfish motive. What was it to do? Bring honor to self. See, when dishonor tactics are used to bring honor to self, it still makes that vessel, hello? A what? What kind of a vessel? A what? Dishonor. Does everybody see this? So we see here then that the serpent, does everybody know what a serpent is? Is it a reptile? Cool. It's a reptile, isn't it? In other words, it can go in water and land and so forth. It's a reptile. We'll talk more about this in a minute. But anyways, it says he was more cunning, more crafty, more deceiving, more seducing, more lying. He, of any beast God created, this reptile called a serpent deceived Eve and caused man to fall. Now, look at what happened in the garden, right? In the garden, Eve was tempted with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and what? Pride of life. Jesus was tempted in the same way. And where was he? In the wilderness. And he was tempted with what? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. I wonder why we're hearing this right now. Hello? Let's go to Psalm 73. Verses 1 through 9, would you read it with me? Truly God is good to Israel, to such as a pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. Everybody say, my feet almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was what? Envious of the what? Boastful. What's a boastful? Prideful. He was envious. He said, look at man, I almost stumbled and my feet almost slipped because I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the what? Prosperity of the wicked. Oh, glory. Man, I tell you what. Remember I shared with you already that the devil loves to manipulate people with money. You know how many people have left the will and the call of God for money? You know how many people have abandoned their position for money? That's one of the ploys of the enemy. He always tries to move you with finances. Does everybody get it? He always tries to tell you it's greener on the other side. You know what? You may change jobs. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but anyways. You may change jobs and make more money for 2 weeks, and after that you're going to find yourself, bam, because you were moved by money and not by God. You know why? You were envious, prideful. Why? For the wicked, because they were making more money than you. You know what happened? You didn't trust God. Come on, are you with me? Come on, let's go on. And verse 4. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. This is what he has seen in the prosperity of the wicked. This is why I'm envious, he's saying. Look it. Nothing happens to them. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish for. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Wow. And envy, jealousy. Big, swelling words. Speak freely without any respect. No consideration. Man, he was struggling. He said, man, I'm telling you, I almost bit the bait. I almost walked away from God. I was almost ready to give up everything because I was so envious. I saw the boastfulness of the wicked, and yet I wanted to almost be like him. And I found myself becoming prideful. Why can't I act that way? Why can't I almost slipped? Does everybody understand this? You know, pride is very powerful. It is the most cunning beast God created. It is the most deadly, powerful spirit. People die more from pride than anything else. Pride will kill you. Oh, let's go to Proverbs 13. The enemy draws people into pride. See, he'll either tempt you with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, or pride of life. But the pride of life is what really, pride is what really nabs people. Because even if they're believers and they have knowledge, they fall because they're prideful of how much they know. But yet, they're not using what they know. Anxiousness. The reason why people move ahead of God is because they're prideful. Because they won't wait for an answer. They say, I'm doing it my way, Lord. Amen? In Proverbs 13 and verse 9, would you read it with me? The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife. Woo. If you're an individual that gets caught up in a lot of strife, guess what demon is behind it? Actually, it's there are demons, there are principalities, and I'm going to introduce you to the king today. There is a king of pride. He is the most evil, wicked power of darkness that there is. Oh, hallelujah. Let's read 10 again. By pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gained by what? Dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will what? Increase. Praise God. Now listen. Well-advised or disadvised? Well-advised is one who expresses love. The one who disadvised is the one who expresses pride. Does everybody get this? Why? Because there's something behind the motive. There's something pushing. There's something releasing. There's a power of darkness that is, remember, let me share with you, the spirit realm, there's spirits all over, isn't there? And what's happening is they're impressing and you're expressing. So whatever's impressing you, you begin to express it. So if the love of God is impressing you, and the spirit of pride is impressing you, you have a choice of which one to express. Of course, everything is brought back to you. That's why he said, cleanse yourself. So what do you think what rebellion would be? Pride. Pride is the initiator. He is the instigator, and he is the promoter. That individuals become a vessel of dishonor. See, he's trying to get vessels in the body of Christ to become dishonor instead of honor. Go to Daniel 5 in verse 18. Let's read it together. O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom in majesty, glory, and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. You know, it's amazing and how people just freely speak anything they want to speak and think that it's not being written. You know, the Bible warns about individuals speaking against dignitaries and so forth and whatever. And it says, you know, because they have no understanding, they think everything is evil because they don't understand it. Let me share something with you. If everybody would put Jesus in front of them all the time, they wouldn't do the things they do. Amen. And when somebody got against you, you would shut up. You know why? Because you can see the Lord. So somebody comes and attacks you, you just shut up. Hallelujah. Why? Because the devil always wants to make it your battle. And Jesus is always trying to make it his. See, when it becomes your battle, you get sucked in the ring. And the only thing that you come out with is a tail and two horns. That's the only thing you'll get out of it. Because if you get sucked in a ring, there is no winner. Now, look at what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, man. He was granted everything. He had glory and honor, everything. God gave him everything. And what happened to him? He hardened his heart. And the Lord dethroned him, didn't he? Glory. In verse 21, then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of what? Silver and gold. Here we go again. Bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written. Go to verse 26. Is everybody there? This is the interpretation of each word. The first word is spelled M-E-N-E. Meaning, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. In other words, your end is at hand. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found what? Wanting. Wanting. What's the next one? Perez, your kingdom has divided and given to the Medes and the what? Persians. Oh, hallelujah. Your end, you're in want, and you've been removed from all materialism. You lost it all. Let me share something with you. Pride is what causes man to get out of position. His heart became hardened. Pride, the pride of life. Oh, this is all mine. Yes. You know, some people, because we've been brought up on materialism, you know, they got to fill their garage with everything they can and then never use it. Yeah, I got all kinds of stuff. And never use it. The promoter behind pride is a very powerful monster that motivates pride. There is a monster behind pride. Go to Job 41. Hallelujah. We're going to introduce you to the king of pride. His name is Leviathan. He's the king of pride. He's above the principalities. He's a king. He's the most deadly, monstrous, demonic force there is. Starting at verse 1, read it with me. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird, or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. This is what the Lord says. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of the scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Now, you know, this is not no normal reptile. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot burning rushes. His breath kindles coals and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp pot shreds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. On earth there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. His name is Leviathan. Again, he is over territorial spirits. The serpent is a reptile, Leviathan. I want to share something with you because there was a book called about the witch man doctor. And it's a true book. And I met the person that wrote it and was with this person. And it was about a young boy that was brought up in a occult and witchcraft in Africa. And his father, at a young age, would bring him to the forest and introduce him to the big, strong demon forest. And they ran the forest. And he said they were so huge and strong, it was phenomenal. And he used to be able to transform himself into a reptile. Well, doesn't the Bible say even Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light? And he would go underneath into the waters and underneath the ocean sea and dwell there for up to 11 months in the thrones of Satan. And he used to see all kinds of people, all kinds of demonic forces. And in Satan's throne, he duplicated the same thing that the Lord did. He had 24 elders there, 12 on each side. And you could hear the screams and so forth in the other levels of hell. And he said one day, he was being boastful for who he was. And he was telling the demons and so forth that he was the only human that had ever lived that went down there that long. And the demon said, well, there was one other that came down here. And this person was saying, well, I want to know his name. And they said, well, we can't mention his name because every time we do, hell shakes for 2 weeks. And after he'd come back up to the surface, and in this book, he begins to share on how he would transform himself into a crocodile or whatever, and he would grab children and spew on them, and families would try to grab the child, but he was all slippery, and he would take that child and bring it and kill that child and offer it to Satan. And he'd done it numerous times. And when he came back to the surface after a period of time, he was walking down the street in his whole in Africa, in the city, and his whole family was fear. Everybody feared his whole family. And one day he was going to the store or something, and he said this hand, because he said, I want to meet this person who they claim this. I want to know this person's name. I don't want to meet this person that has been in hell. And one day this hand came and grabbed him and dragged him across the street and sat him down in a church. He couldn't understand it. He thought it was a demon. He kept mentioning names of the demon forces that his father introduced him to and that he knew. And they were servants. They served him. He was the next one to inherit all of the demonic inheritance, whatever it is, you know. All the powers. They used to be able to transform not only themselves into animals. So he said five different animals, but they'd be able to put themselves in different locations in the country without any transportation. And anyways, this hand came and grabbed him and put him back of a church. And of course, the whole church freaked out because they began binding, loosening, and everything else because the pastor knew where this guy came from. Anyways, to make a long story short, he ended up getting saved. And eventually, his whole family ended up getting saved. And I met the missionary that knew him. And in fact, she came and preached at one of our services one time. And I share this because even Jacques Cousteau one time almost quit scuba diving because he went into, they were in Bermuda Triangle, and he found like bars on the bottom of the ocean floor and began to hear screams that it frightened him so much he almost quit. Because it's true. See, the powers of darkness, just like the body of Christ, there's a body of the devil. And there are ports, and one of the ports is the Bermuda Triangle. And you remember, his throne room is over in Babylon. That's why he's controller of oil. He makes money a god. That's his purpose. That's why so many people get sucked out because of the, first of all, the push, the impression of pride through the Leviathan spirit. Because pride always wants to promote self. Its only interest is self. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. And Leviathan is the king of pride. And the children that are associated with pride are under his authority. That's why it's something that you must fight every day. Every day. Remember, we just read that there's no way to kill this thing, right? Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 27. Thank you, Lord. Read verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. So we see here that eventually the Lord is going to slay him, isn't he? Amen? But there's something very powerful that will overcome pride. Psalm 36. Glory. Psalm 36 and verse 10. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen, and they have been cast down and are not able to rise. Now, why was he crying for more loving kindness? Because love is the only thing that can overcome pride. So everybody see this. Love is the only thing that can overcome pride. So you're either, now listen, love or Leviathan. You're either under love or you're under who? Leviathan. Now who is love? God. Amen. In fact, that's the name of the teaching tonight, Love or Leviathan. Your choice. Go to Proverbs 16. Everybody who falls, you can blame everybody else. You can blame your circumstance. You can blame anything and everything. But there's only one reason why an individual falls, moves out of position, forsakes his position, is not accountable. There's only one thing behind it. Verse 18. Would you read it with me? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Wow. Does everybody see that? The only reason why people backslide is because they've been impressed and expressed pride. They've come in covenant with pride. And who's promoting the pride? Who's the monster? Leviathan. So why not start binding Leviathan every day? Amen? Start binding Leviathan. He's against you. He'll do everything he can to manipulate you. He sends his principalities. He feeds his principalities. His principalities give commands to the high-ranking demons, the strong men, and then the regular demons, the foot soldiers. It all comes down from Leviathan. Now, we know that who is his partner? Satan. Amen? Does everybody see that? Proverbs 8, in verse 13. Would you read it with me? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So what does he say? He says, man, the fear, if you have reverence to the Lord, right? Now, reverence to the Lord is love, isn't it? If you really fear the Lord, you have reverence to the Lord, you're going to hate evil. Well, now he explains to you what evil is. It's pride and arrogance. He calls that evil, doesn't he? He said that's pride and arrogance. And of course, what does that produce? A perverse mouth. What overcomes pride? Love. Love. You know, when somebody does something, you want to, you know, yeah, well, your mind's thinking one thing, and Holy Ghost is saying, love. And you're going, yeah, right. Yeah, right, love. Come on, I got work to do. There's something I want to say. Hate evil. But, no but, no justification, no modification, and no manipulation. 1 Pete chapter 4. Glory. Is everybody there? Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love. That means continuous, enduring love. Never ceasing love. For one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Why? Because love avoids sins, doesn't it? And when there is sin, it goes, forgive me. Amen? It says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. We better say that one more time. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. In other words, complaining. It's time to be a giver and not a taker. And each one has received a gift, ministered to one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Love covers sin. Why? Because love avoids sins, humbles when it sins, promotes love. Love promotes love, doesn't it? Amen? And let me tell you what else love promotes. It promotes the hatred for sin. See, when an individual doesn't hate sin and it still pets it, still fellowships with it, still justifies about it, still sees it, the love of God has not been perfected. Does everybody see that? I don't care how much you say you love Jesus. His love is not, you, has not truly possessed you yet. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. But he's working on us. Oh, hallelujah. Quit feeding Leviathan, will you? Don't feed him. He'll eat you right up. Oh, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Wow, isn't that something? It says it suffers long and is kind. Not many people suffer long and are kind. They're kind of, you know, but they're not kind. Because this is the love from above. This is the love of God. This is not lust. This is love. This is not want. This is love. Why? Because love gives. God so loved the world that he gave. Amen? It's not, again, not doesn't have anything to do with self. See, someone who suffers a long time usually grumbles, complains, and becomes a false martyr. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, but I do. Let that love express through you. You know, that's why the Bible tells us when the spirit of heaviness comes or you're caught up in trials, praise and worship the Lord. Why? Because you're expressing love. Well, it don't feel like it. It don't matter what it feels like. Love is not a feeling. It's a choice. But people get caught up in emotion. Well, I don't feel love. Well, where you been? Lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. And praise God. And you'll feel love. Hello? What are you doing? You're bringing the presence of God in and you're removing the demonic presence. It's time you tied up Leviathan into a bowl. Hallelujah. Come on, let's keep going. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not what? Envy. Woo-hoo. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. When's the last time you behaved rudely? I don't want to know. Does not seek its own, hallelujah, is not provoked, or is a provoker, thinks no evil, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Oh, glory. That's what's going to overcome pride, right? Go to Romans 12. Praise God, we're going to get it tonight. And he's going to get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Ooh. Abhor what is what? Evil. And cling to what is good. Be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Let me repeat that one more time. I didn't say shoot those who persecute you. It says bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another and do not set your mind on high things. But associate with who? The humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with, in other words, depart from evil. You know, it says don't repay evil with evil. When somebody says something you want to shoot back, you just repaid evil with evil. That's why Jesus didn't say anything until it was time. When I said, you really are the king? Are you the king? I am the king. He expressed his position and who he was. And then, of course, it was said to him, well, if you're really the king, don't you understand? Man, I have the power to hold your life, to give you life and take it. And Jesus said, nah, man, you may think you do, but it was only granted to you. That's it. But you really don't have the power because I can blow this whole place out. But I'm going to pay a price because I'm going to express love from the eternal creator. Jesus was love that came in. You could touch love, see love, hear love. His love raised the dead. His love healed. The Bible says the greatest thing is love. Without love, nothing's any good. Doesn't matter how much knowledge you have or what kind of gifts you move in. If you don't have love, you're nothing. And if you don't have love, you're pride. Amen? You're pride. In 1 John chapter 4. And you don't want to be under the king of pride, who is Leviathan, and become a child of pride. Glory. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Behold, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Go to verse 18. Verse 17, I'm sorry. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this. In other words, as he is. In other words, we responded just like he did in the world. Does everybody get this? As he, come on, read this with me again. We may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Wow. In other words, we're acting and we're following the master. That's what gives, love has been perfected. That's what gives us the boldness to go to the throne room of God, because we're acting like him. In verse 18, it says, there's no fear in love. What are you afraid of losing? Yourself? Hello? Are you afraid of losing control? What are you afraid of losing? What's the devil told you? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Glory. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I'm going to close at Romans 13. Has everybody got it? Thank you, Master. In verse 8, it says what? Owe no one anything. Hello. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this knowing the time, that now is a high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry as in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Love or Leviathan? Your choice. Who do you want to serve today? Love or Leviathan? In other words, you want to serve God or Leviathan? So start taking dominion over Leviathan. He is moving rampantly during this period of time. Pride is the number one killer. It's a monster. Kills mankind. More than sickness and disease, pride. In fact, pride is one of the promoters of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And that's what brings diseases to a body. Does everybody understand? Don't let pride run your life. Let love run your life. Amen? Sever yourself from all those areas of pride. Learn what pride is. Learn what love is. Know. Understand. And let the Spirit of God lead you in every area. Avoid confrontation with pride. Bind it, blind it, mute it, and deaf it. Take dominion and pull down that king and all of his principalities and cohorts that are associated with the Leviathan spirit of pride. It's torment. It's hardening. And it's danger. And that's where the attack is right now, tremendously, in the body of Christ, is pride. That's what's causing churches to split. That's what's causing individuals to walk out of positions and not be faithful. Pride causes individuals to not be accountable, responsible, and they don't earn credit. Pride. Don't pet it. And don't feed it, because it'll eventually eat you right up. Amen? Father, we give you praise and glory, and we thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I pray an impartation in each and every one that every day they'll take dominion over that spirit, that king, and that principality against Leviathan. Now, Lord, we repent for association with it. We command every corruptible seed and any eggs that it's laid anywhere within us to wither and die in Jesus' name. And we break and loose ourselves from every associated spirit with those corruptible seeds of pride. Lord, dress us with the cloak of humility and eat a bunch of humble pie for your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.